6 is going to be our text, or at least our beginning spot this morning. 2 Corinthians 6, if you're physically able, if you'll stand with me this morning for the reading of God's Word. 2 Corinthians 6, verse number 1, the Bible says, "We then, as workers together with Him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain." Verse 2, "For He saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." And I'd like to bring us a message this morning entitled, "When Now is Too Late." When now is too late. I want to go ahead and allow the kids before we pray this morning. I should have already done that, but let me let the kids be dismissed to junior church and to toddler church this morning. And while they're being dismissed, let's bow our heads and pray and ask God to help us this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that You'd teach us and help us today. Father, I pray that You would challenge our hearts today. Father, I ask You if there would be one here today without Christ. Father, I do pray that now, that today would be their day of salvation. Father, I pray that they would not wait. I pray that they would not delay. Father, I pray that today, right now, at this very moment, presently, that they would see their need for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, today they would be saved. Then, Father, for us as believers, I pray that You challenge our hearts to remind us and for us to understand that tomorrow is too late. For that loved one, that neighbor, that co-worker, that friend who does not know Christ, next week may be too late. This afternoon may be too late. Father, I pray that You challenge and convict and stir our hearts today. And we'll thank You and praise You for it. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. As you're being seated, I'd ask you to take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter number 16. Luke chapter number 16. In 2 Corinthians 6, the Apostle Paul is speaking to the believers in the church at Corinth about their call to service. And as he does so, in verse number 2, which we just read, Paul reminds them of their day of salvation. And this reminder to the Corinthian believers is also a reminder to us in regards to the truth that no one is promised a tomorrow. Thus, if someone needs to be saved, they need to be saved today. Because there will come a time when now is too late. The word now means at the present time, at the present moment. It means presently, right now. We know what it means. We know the opposite of that word is later. And later may be too late. The subject matter that we're going to look at in Luke chapter number 16, because this is where we're going to be for the rest of the time this morning, or for all of our time this morning. We know Luke chapter 16, we know verse 19 through the end of the chapter is speaking of the rich man and Lazarus. And the subject matter that will be expounded in these verses, these 13 verses, dwarfs all other conversations. It dwarfs all other concerns and it dwarfs all other cares. We can talk about the weather and that's okay. You can speak about your grandchildren and that's okay. We can talk about sports and that may be okay. We can speak about the condition of America. We can speak about politics today. But what we must speak to people about is their spiritual condition. Because if they have never been born again, they are destined to die and to enter an eternity of conscious, unending torment. And I pray that we'll be reminded of the truth this morning that a lost man's best day upon this earth is the best day he'll ever have. And by the way, as a believer, our worst day upon this earth is the worst day we'll ever have. I want to show us in Luke chapter 16 this morning, I want to show us three things that the rich man believed, but it was too late. It's too late. You see, he waited too late to believe. And I want to show us three areas this morning in which he waited too late to believe. Let's read. Let me do this. Let me read the entire passage. If you have a bulletin this morning, you can follow along with the message this morning. And I want to give us three areas, three things that this rich man believed, but it was too late. The Bible says in verse number 19, there was a certain rich man. By the way, there have been many heretics who want to take verses 19 through 31 and say that it's just a parable. Jesus Christ never said it was a parable. And by the way, Jesus Christ never used a person's real name in a parable. And he uses the name of Lazarus. This is not a parable. This is an event that actually happened. The Bible says in verse number 19, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores. And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover the dogs came and licked his sores. The dogs had more care for Lazarus than this rich man did. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. By the way, that's not our message this morning, but isn't that a wonderful picture? I believe that's what happens when we die. I believe that we're escorted into the very presence of Jesus Christ by His angels. And by the way, I believe the opposite, when a person dies without Christ, that they are escorted into hell by the devil's angels. You hear of story after story after story after story of individuals who died without Jesus Christ, who hated Jesus Christ, who scorned and mocked Jesus Christ during their time upon this earth. And when they died, the screams that people heard when they died, and the screams of the devils and the demons and the devilish angels that came to get them. Are those stories true, Pastor? I don't know, but I do know that Lazarus was escorted into heaven by angels, and I believe the absolute same is true about people who die without Christ. They are escorted by the devil's demons into the devil's hell. The Bible says in verse number 22, the last part, it says, "The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom." By the way, the great evangelist was wrong when he said, "I don't know if there's a hell or not," or excuse me, "I don't know if there's flames or fire in hell, but I do know that in hell you're going to be separated from God, and that's hell enough." And I say to that great evangelist, I say, you need to read your Bible. Because in the Bible it says there is flames. In the Bible it says there are torments. In the Bible it says that this man desired very simply for one little dip, one little speck of water to be put on his tongue. And the Bible says, "And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom." This rich man saw two individuals. He saw Abraham, the father of all who believe, and he saw Lazarus, one of those believers. And he cried and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." But Abraham said, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence." Then he said, "I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment." Abraham saith unto them, unto him, "They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them." And he said, "Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent." And he said unto him, "If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded that one rose from the dead." When now is too late. Three things that the rich man believed in hell, but it was too late. Number one this morning, now. after he had died, after verse number 22, when the Bible says the rich man also died and was buried, now and in hell, now the rich man believed in praying for help, but it was too late. Now the rich man believed in praying for help, but it was too late. By the way, he prayed to the wrong person, but he prayed. The Bible says in verse number 24, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, verse number 27 says, then he said, I pray thee. He's praying now. He's begging. He's crying. He's acknowledging now that he needs help, but it's too late. Now, the rich man believed in praying for help, but it was too late. What did he pray for? He prayed, first of all, for mercy from the torment of the flame. He prayed for mercy from the torment of the flame, verse 24. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. He prayed for mercy from the torment of the flame. The rich man was very much alive. He could hear, he could feel, he could speak, he could think, he could remember. And on and on and on, he was very much alive. And he prayed for mercy from the torment of the flame. What else did he pray for? He prayed for a man. He prayed for a man in verses 27 through 31 to testify to his family. He prayed for mercy from the torment of the flame, but secondly, he prayed for a man to testify to his family. But the rich man's request was denied. Why? Because it was too late. First of all, this morning, now, after his death, after verse number 22, and in verse number 23, and in hell, he lift up his eyes. Now, at that moment when he's in hell, now, that moment after he's taken his last breath here, and he's gone directly, immediately into hell, now, the rich man believed in praying for help, but it was too late. Let me give you number two. Now, not only did the rich man believe in praying for help, but secondly, now the rich man believed in preaching on hell, but it was too late. Now in hell, the rich man believed in praying for help, but it was too late. Now the rich man believed in preaching on hell, but it was too late. In hell, he realized that hell is a place of woe. He realized that hell is a place of woe, but listen, it was too late then. Did Lazarus preach to him while he sat at his gate? We don't know. But I tend to believe that Lazarus said something to him about heaven, said something to him about his eternal soul, because when he lifts up his eyes and he sees Abraham, the father of all who believe, and Lazarus, one of those believers, when he lifts up his eyes, he sees Lazarus and he understands, he's there, I'm not. He's there not because he was poor, and I'm not here because I was rich. But he's there because he believed, and I'm here because I didn't. And by the way, the rich man wasn't in hell because he was rich. The rich man was in hell because all he thought about was his riches. All he ever thought about was more stuff and more stuff and more stuff. Number two, the rich man now, the rich man believed in preaching on hell, but it was too late. He realized that hell is a place of woe. Matthew chapter 13, you don't have to turn there. Let me read if I could this morning. Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse number 36. And the Bible says, Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. In verse number 42, the Bible says, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. In Mark chapter number 9, beginning in verse number 42, And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Here's the truth this morning. The fires and the flames of hell are never quenched and they're never quiet. The Bible says there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. There's wailing. The Bible says that the fire is never, ever quenched. It's never quenched and it's never quiet. The Bible says, and if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Now, the rich man believed in preaching on hell, but it was too late. He realized that hell is a place of woe. And by the way, in the book of Revelation, in Revelation chapter number 20, in verse number 10, we have the account. The Bible says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Remember, the beast and the false prophet have been there for 1,000 years. Remember, they were thrown in there before the millennial reign. And after 1,000 years of the millennial reign, the devil's going to be cast in there as well. But 1,000 years later, the beast and the false prophet are there. They're still alive 1,000 years later because it's a place of awful woe. And the fire's never quenched. And the fire's never quiet. Now, the rich man believed in preaching on hell, but it was too late. He realized that hell is a place of woe. Secondly, he realized that he had people who needed to be warned. Would you look at verse 27 with me again? Luke chapter 16 and verse number 27. Not only did he realize that hell is a place of woe, it's a place of torment, it's a place of fire, and he realized that firsthand. But secondly, he realized, hey, now he wants someone to go preach to his family. Now he wants someone to go tell his family, hey, hell is real. Your brother's there. Your family is there. He wanted me to come and preach to you, but it was too late. By the way, not too late for his five brothers. But what did Abraham tell him? Look what the Bible says. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. By the way, think about this for a moment. How long did Lazarus lie at the gate of this rich man? How many times did these five brethren come to their brother's house and mock and make fun of Lazarus lying at the gate? Hey, when are you going to get rid of this old beggar that's sitting out by your gate? This old beggar that the dogs lick his sword. Hey, when are you going to get rid of him? And now, this brother in hell says, I have five brethren. They believe just like me. They don't know Christ. They don't know the Messiah. They don't know this one. This one who has come to heal and to save. He said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. You see, those five brethren, their brother knew that they were in the same condition. He knew that they were headed to this same hell. He knew that if they stayed in their current situation, they were going to come and be with him. And he said, Father Abraham, send someone. By the way, who's the someone he wanted him to send? It's Lazarus, the very beggar that had sat at his gate. The very beggar that no doubt they had made fun of, these six brothers. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. That makes sense, doesn't it? If someone would come back from the dead and would preach and preach and say heaven is real and hell is real, wouldn't in our human minds we would say, yeah, boy, we would believe then. And Abraham says, no, they won't believe. They'll mock and they'll make fun. And look what he says. He said, nay, Father Abraham, or excuse me, verse 29, Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. What is he saying? He said, they have the Word of God. They have Moses. Is Moses still alive now? No. Are the prophets still alive? No. What does Abraham tell them? They have the Word of God. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Nay! Nay, Father Abraham, verse 30, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. You see, now he believes in preaching on hell. Now he wants someone to go and tell his five brothers, hey, hell is real. Your brother is there right now. He's crying out for some water. He's crying out for a little dip of water, a tip of the finger to dip on it or to put on his tongue. He's praying for it. Your brother's there. And he has sent me to preach to you. You see, now he believes in preaching on hell. But it's too late. Number one, now the rich man believed in praying for help, but it was too late. Now, number two, the rich man believed in preaching on hell, but it was too late. He realized that hell is a place of woe. You know what's happened in our modern day Christianity? We've listened to so many and we've allowed and watched so many movies that use hell as a curse word, we don't even think about hell anymore. We watch movies and listen to music that use that word as a curse word, and it's just another word to us now. Maybe we even use it sometimes. And we don't think about the awful place of woe and torment that it is. And we forget that every single one of us, including this preacher, have people who need to be warned of that place. Family members, friends, acquaintances, neighbors. Number two, the rich man believed in preaching on hell, but it was too late. Let me give you number three. Number one, now the rich man believed in praying for help, but it was too late. The rich man believed in preaching on hell, but it was too late. Now, the rich man believed in preparing for heaven, but it was too late. Now, the rich man believed in preparing for heaven, but it was too late. Here's the truth this morning. Our eternity is fixed at death. At death, our eternity is settled forever. You die with Christ, your eternity is settled forever in heaven. You die without Christ, your eternity is settled forever in hell. Our eternity is forever settled at the moment of death. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter number 22, verse number 11, the Bible says, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still, and he which is filthy, let him be filthy still, and he that is righteous, let him be righteous still, and he that is holy, let him be holy still. Our eternities are fixed at death. Now, when he lift up his eyes in hell, now he believes in preparing for heaven, but it's too late. Look in your Bibles there at Luke 16. Look at verse number 19. We see, first of all, that this rich man wasted his life on the earthly. He wasted his life on the earthly, on that which was temporal. And listen, dear friend, there's absolutely nothing wrong. I'm not preaching against nice things this morning. There's absolutely nothing wrong with having nice things. However, many live their lives in pursuit of stuff, never understanding that life on this earth is temporal. It's just temporal. You live 80, 90, 100 years. That's a good long life, isn't it? But still short. It's short. Because, hey, 1,000 years later, the beast and the false prophet are still there. By the way, 2,000 plus years later, today, the rich man is still burning in hell today. The rich man is still there today. His body has not burned up. He still has consciousness. He still can think. He can still hear. He can still feel. And he's still there. The Bible says in verse number 19, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. By the way, most of us live like that, don't we? You may not wear purple. Brother Ted is. You may not wear the purple garments of a king. That's what he's referring to there. Not that necessarily this rich man was a king, but that was a sign of wealth. That was a sign of importance in the Bible. And he says there was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. We fare sumptuously every day, don't we? None of us go hungry. We get what we want. We have what we want. Now that may change. I don't know. But right now we do. That wasn't the point. He didn't go to hell because he ate well every day. He didn't go to hell because he wore nice clothes every day. He went to hell because he rejected Jesus Christ. He went to hell because he did nothing with Jesus Christ, and it's proven out in how he treated Lazarus. The Bible says in verse number 20, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. You see, here's the truth this morning. He wasted his life on the earthly. You may be, let me say this, you may be in here this morning, you're saved and you know Christ, but you may be wasting your life on the earthly. All you think about is what you're going to get next. All you think about is the money that you're storing up. All you think about are the possessions that you're storing. All you're thinking about is now, 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 now. Help. God help. He wasted his life on the earthly. Let me give you the second thing. No doubt he wished he had thought about the eternal. Now the rich man believed in preparing for heaven. We know that because he says, hey, go find my brethren. Tell them about this place. Tell them not to come here. Tell them how not to come here. In verse number 31, he says, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. By the way, do you know that's what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to persuade people not to go to hell. We're supposed to persuade people with the Word of God, with Moses and the prophets, that there is a heaven that we can go to, and there's a hell that we're to shun. We're to persuade them. Number three, now, as he lifts his eyes up in hell, now, the rich man believed in preparing for heaven, but it was too late. Our eternity is fixed at death. He wasted his life on the earthly, and no doubt, he wished he had thought about the eternal. The Bible tells us in the book of John, John chapter number 3. The best I know this morning, I'm preaching to a vast majority of people who say that they're saved. But I don't know, friend. I don't know your heart this morning. But I do know this. I know that that very moment when we take our last breath here and we take our next breath there, if we haven't done anything with Jesus Christ, if we haven't taken Him as our Savior, it's too late. Dear friend, if you're watching by live stream today, if you've never taken Christ as your Savior, that moment you take your last breath here and you take your next breath there and you've done nothing with Christ, it's too late. It's too late. John 3 and verse number 36. John 3, we know verse 16. But John 3 verse number 36, the Bible says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. He that believeth on the Son hath, not maybe, not might. Do we believe the Word of God? Yes, we do. Okay, if we believe the Word of God, every word of it is true, every word of it is right. And when he says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, we don't have to live our lives doubting and saying, well, I think I'm saved today, but maybe tomorrow I may not feel like I'm saved. Listen, you can't go on your feelings. My salvation is not based upon my feelings. My salvation is based upon my faith in this book right here and what it says. And it says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, but it also says the opposite. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Most of you know the Romans road. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. That's what I've earned. That's what I deserve. My wages, what I've earned for my sin is death. You see, that's when someone's trying to live their life to get to heaven, that's all they earn is death. Because even our good works You know, they're filthy rags. The best we can do in our flesh are like filthy rags. For the wages of sin is death. But, aren't you thankful for that? But, so many times in the Scriptures, we get the bad part first, but there's always the but. But, the gift of God. The gift is eternal life. How do we get it? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 9. Many of you could quote it. Verses 9 through 13 this morning. Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. If you're saved this morning, have you ever been ashamed of Christ? I haven't. And if you would say the contrary to that, what in the world is wrong with you? Christ has never done anything to you for you to be ashamed of. He's done everything for us. For there is no difference, verse 12, between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Would you take your Bibles and go to 1 John this morning real quickly. 1 John 5. We'll be done right here. Number one, now. Now, and in hell He lift up His eyes, and in hell. And the rich man also died, and he was buried. And in hell He lift up His eyes. Now, that very moment, and the rich man also died. And that very moment, when he took his last breath, and the riches were gone, and the purple garments were gone, and the wonderful, delicious food was gone. And in hell He lift up His eyes. Now, he believed in praying for help, but it was too late. Now he believed in preaching on hell, but it was too late. By the way, we need to take note from a man in hell of how important it is to preach on hell. We get a little timid sometimes talking about that word hell. And the rich man in hell said, preach about it. The rich man in hell said, go tell my brothers about it. The rich man in hell said, I don't want my brethren to come here. Send someone back from the dead. I believe he's referring to Lazarus there. But send somebody back from the dead and they'll repent. Now, the rich man believed in preaching on hell, but it was too late now. The rich man believed in preparing for heaven, but it was too late. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son. This is the record that God hath given us, to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. Dear friend, this morning, do you have the Son? Do you have Jesus Christ? He that hath the Son, verse 12, hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. He says it twice to give the double emphasis. He said, these things have I said unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. And then He says it again. And the idea here is that you can have confidence, that you can believe that what you have believed in is right. When now is too late. Application is twofold this morning. Dear friend, if you're here without Christ, an hour from now may be too late. A year from now may be too late. A day from now may be too late. And when you're in hell and you believe then, it's too late. Christian, church family, a week from now may be too late for a friend, a co-worker, a family member who needs to hear about Christ. The story is told of Dr. Moody. He was preaching in Chicago. And he was preaching meetings, and he preached on Sunday. He preached a message, and after the message, he didn't have an invitation. It was a gospel message. And he told the congregants, he said, I want you to take what was preached today and take and meditate and think this week about everything that you've heard this morning. He said, I want you to meditate. And if you don't know Christ, I want you to come back next week prepared to receive Christ. He never had an invitation. That very afternoon, that very night, the Great Chicago Fire began. Great Chicago Fire that not only took Moody's church, but took many lives. And the story is told that Dr. Moody sat in his home, actually not sat in his home because he had to leave his home because the city was on fire. But the story is told that Dr. Moody, that very night, he sat in the quietness by himself. And he thought to himself, how many people have died in the past hours and gone into a devil's hell because I didn't have an invitation this morning? Because I didn't open the altar up for those who needed to come and ask Christ as Savior. Now here's the truth, dear friend. You don't have to come to an altar. You don't have to be in a church to get saved. Maybe some of those folks got saved before death took them in that fire. We don't know, but Dr. Moody lived with that for the rest of his life. See, here's the truth this morning. There will come a time when now it's too late. Whether you're an unbeliever this morning, there will come a time when now it's too late. If you're a believer this morning, there will come a time for that friend, that family member, that child, that mom, that dad that you know doesn't know Christ. There will come a time when now it's too late. I'll tell you one more story and I'm done. I was listening this week to where Paige goes to school. They had Bible conference this week, and one of the pastors that preached there, he was preaching, and in the message he preached, he gave a story about his granddad and his dad. Both men died and went to hell, but specifically he told the story about his dad. By the way, he told the story about his granddad, and his granddad, when he said, I love my granddad. I did everything with my granddad. I worked on the farm with my granddad. My granddad took me to the store and bought me snack. He said, I love my granddad. But he said, my granddaddy made a statement one day. He said, one of my siblings went to church and came back talking about church. And his granddaddy made this statement, won't ever be a preacher come out of our family. He said, in the midst of his cursing, he said, there won't ever be a blankety-blank preacher come out of our family. And he said, I think it's amazing that God called me, his only grandson, the grandson he loved, to be a preacher. But he's telling a story about his daddy. And this preacher, he got saved when he was in his early 20s. And he said, I witnessed to my daddy for years. He said, I witnessed and I witnessed and I witnessed. And he said, I went to see my daddy one time, and he said, it was just for a visit. And he said, I thought in my heart, you know, every time I come, we don't have a really good visit because I'm always talking to him about Christ because I want him to be saved. And he said, so I made up in my mind on that visit. He said, I was just going to have a good visit. We were just going to have a good time. I wasn't going to bring anything up about Christ. Wasn't going to bring anything up about salvation and the fact that he needed to be saved. He said, I wasn't going to bring it up because I just wanted us to have a good visit. And he said, so I didn't. He said, a week and a half later, he said, my brother called. Actually, I don't know if it was his brother. I don't think it was his brother. It was one of his family members. He said, one of my family members called a week and a half later. And you know. He said, your daddy had a heart attack last night. And he's gone. You see, dear friend, and I don't tell you those stories to jerk at your heartstrings. I tell you those stories because they're true. Because here's the truth is, when we can get our heartstrings tugged at a little bit for a moment, but what really needs to change in our hearts is the realization that there is a hell. And that there are people all around us every single day dying. Maybe not people we know, maybe not even people we have opportunity to witness to, But there are people around us every single day that God gives us opportunity to witness to. You don't have to come on a Saturday to witness. God gives us witnessing opportunities every day. When now, it's too late. Dear friend, do you know Christ? There will come a time when now is too late. If you don't know Christ, I beg you to come today. We're not going to prolong at all, but if you don't know Christ, there will come a day, there will come a moment. And the rich man also died, and in hell he lift up his eyes. When now is too late. Father, we love you today. And Father, we're thankful for salvation. And Father, I pray if there's one in this auditorium this morning that does not know Christ, I pray that today, as we read in 2 Corinthians 6:2, that today would be the day of their salvation, because today is the day of salvation. Today, right at this moment, now is all we're promised. We're not promised later. We're not promised tomorrow. Father, if there's one here that needs to be saved, Father, I pray that they would be saved today. Father, for us as believers, if during this message we've thought of specific names, Father, may we bow the knee this morning and say, Lord, before it's too late, I'm going to give a call. I'm going to make a visit. I'm going to do whatever I possibly can to tell that individual one more time about the salvation that Jesus Christ has offered. Father, help us this morning, and we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed. Miss Jo's going to begin to play. The message, the invitation is twofold. Friend, if you're here without Christ, come. Believer, you know Christ. It's not too late for you when it comes to the matter of eternity. But what about those names you thought about during the message this morning? You see, the man in hell thought about five brothers. They had names. We don't know their names. They had names. And he thought about those five brothers. Now, he believed in preaching on hell. Now, he believed in preparing for heaven. But it was too late. By the way, it wasn't too late for his five brethren that were still alive. But Abraham said, look, I'm not going to send someone back from the dead. They need to listen to the Word of God. They can repent through that. And there may be someone in your life, you still have an opportunity. And you can still go. You can call today. You can make a visit this afternoon. And you can give them the Word of God. Let them hear Moses and the prophets. Hey, dear friend, we have even more than Moses and the prophets. We have the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ. What he said while he was here. We have the record of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the gospel. We have the entirety of the canon of Scripture, not just Moses and the prophets. When now is too late. Now, the rich man believed in praying for help. He believed in preaching on hell. He believed in preparing for heaven. But it was too late. Only trust Him, the song says. Only trust Him. Only trust Him now, the song says. How appropriate. Now. Father, we love you this morning. We're grateful. We're thankful for your word. Father, it's your word that gives us wisdom to be saved. It makes us wise unto salvation. And Father, there are so many in our world who need to hear that same wisdom. They need to hear Moses and the prophets. They need to hear the scriptures so that they can see that they need to repent, that they need to place their faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. We call that the gospel. Father, I pray that you'd help every single one of us in here this morning. There may still be someone under the sound of my voice this morning that still is not saved. Never been born again. Father, I pray that today, before this day is over, now will be their moment of salvation. Father, stir us, challenge us. Don't, Lord, please, don't let it end when we walk out these doors. Stir us this afternoon. Stir us tomorrow. Stir us this week as we sit next to a coworker, that in our hearts we may not know exactly, but we have a feeling, we have an understanding that they're probably not saved. Stir us, challenge us, Lord. Bring us back together tonight. Teach us once again, and we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.